Welcome to Journalism Radio. Welcome to Journals of a Healer. Unleash your hidden genius. I'm so happy that to be here with you, and I have so much to share today. Of course, you know that this program is dedicated to freeing people to express and share with the world the gifts that they came in here with. And for many of us, it takes maybe two-thirds of a lifetime just to discover, to remember what we came in here for. And that's part of the process of being here on this planet. First of all, I've had so many requests from readers of Journals of a Healer to go into more depth about how everything all started and what it all means and the reason behind some of the fascinating things that happened to us over the years as from the healing class to multi-life therapy. So I'm just going to dive in. I'm absolutely convinced that suffering from karma is absolutely unnecessary. The main thing, as Stardust always says, when you make a mistake, learn from it and use what you learned to, number one, keep from doing that mistake again, and number two, learning better ways to do everything. So she calls mistakes shortcuts for learning. And actually, what we call karma is just kind of the result of mistakes that have not been worked through and resolved things. Look, for thousands of years, billions of people have just meekly accepted all of the pain and suffering that they are convinced is that they have been judged and found guilty, and they've sentenced to lifetime after lifetime of pain and misery and repression and resentfulness and from other people and all of the things that we go through here. So guess what? Even though I was convinced of this, I had no way of proving it. It just positively did not make any sense. So I guess Spirit figured out that I was onto something that most people weren't paying any attention to. And so in a healing class in 1980, a young woman, a medical student, suddenly went into a spontaneous regression. And she was dying in childbirth, suddenly, it looked like somebody had put a basketball under her usually flat stomach, and she was having contractions. And two of the gals in the class jumped up and grabbed her hands, and they were pulling like crazy and saying, "Push, push, push!" It was that real. And I was standing there totally dumbfounded and shaking, actually, and my left hemisphere was screaming at me, you know, this woman has flipped out, and she's going to wind up in a psych ward, and you're going to wind up in jail because this is your class, and you are in trouble here. You've got to get it straightened out. So there was nothing to do. At that point in time, I was convinced that regression, hypnotic regression, which was what everybody was doing, was a scam. It was a total hoax, and I didn't believe in it. And yet, here it was happening right in front of me. And so what could I do? The only thing I could possibly do was scream for help. And I couldn't do it out loud because then the class would go to pieces. And I was the instructor, so I screamed for help in my head. And magically, it was as if someone had warm, wonderful, incredibly wise and powerful being just put me on like a glove. And I was kind of floating on the side there watching this experience and feeling it and saying, this is the most incredible thing I ever felt in my life. And what is, but thank God something happened. Somebody heard my cry and came to my rescue. And next thing you know, my mouth opened up and it said just the most incredible, brilliant things. And I was in awe. I was just kind of hanging there listening to what was coming out of my mouth, not knowing what was going to come out next. And this wonderful spirit being worked with this woman, helped to find out what was making her so incredibly angry. And it turned out that her husband had not shown up and she was dying in childbirth, and there's nothing that's going to make a woman more angry than that. And so suddenly I began to wonder where the heck the guy was. And the next thing you know, I'm flying through the air. And I swept down, just scooped down closer to the ground, and I saw like a bloody rag doll on a trail. And I decided that was enough. I'd go back, and I very calmly, my mouth opened up, and I told her, your husband is not ignoring you. He just got waylaid by a couple of Indians. And the woman was so furious, she wouldn't even believe that. But eventually, Spirit told her, well, if you don't believe that, go look for yourself. How do I do that, she says, you know. And the Spirit gave her directions to just float out of her body, float up to the ceiling, and keep on floating through the roof, and ask to be taken to her husband's body, so that she could see that he was really dead and that the Indians had killed him. And everybody in the room just was holding their breath. I mean, it was including me, except that at that point I was just kind of hanging in a corner of my mind. And after a couple of minutes, she said, okay, I'm ready to go. And I couldn't stand it any longer. I blurted out, said, are you ready to go look for your husband? She says, no, I'm ready to go. And so Spirit gave her instructions. Just repeat what you did when you were going to look for your husband, only this time, just keep going. And keep going out toward the end of the Earth's atmosphere. And we will be there with you. We will not be alone. You will not get lost. And when you get there, you will see these wonderful lights hurtling toward you just so fast and so beautiful. And they are spirit beings who are coming to take you to the most perfect place that you could imagine being. And so a couple of minutes later, the medical student sat up. She was perfectly back to her normal person, and she started describing what had happened. And, of course, I thought that this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I was stunned. I was grateful that I had been there. I didn't know how it had happened. But at least it was over and everybody was safe and nobody went crazy and the police didn't arrive and everything was fine. Well, the next week another student went into another lifetime spontaneously. And I'm shocked. I don't know, but I know what to do now. Now I know all I have to do is scream for help. So I screamed for help in my head. And the third week, two people went into other lifetimes. And then the fourth week, one of the students asked me if I would join her him for coffee after class. And I said, sure. So as we were sitting in the coffee shop, he told me that he really wanted to do this, but he was a psychologist and he worked for the New York State Board of Mental Health and he couldn't do this in public. So could we please do it privately? And I, at that time, I told him, honestly, I don't know why it's happening. I'm not doing this. And I just figured that it was a class and these were incredible people and I don't know how they happened to come into my class, but it's got to be, it can't be me. So I figured if we tried to do this just you and me, it's probably nothing's going to happen. So he said, well, I'm willing to take a chance that might fail if you are. And I said, okay, so we did. And that was the very first time that I realized that I had anything to do with it at all. So from there, refined, and more people were asking to do it privately. And the next thing you know, I was in business. And people went to incredible places. And remarkable things happened. And here we were, with totally unorthodox techniques. They didn't use hypnosis, which is up until that time. It was assumed that that was the only way that you could go in contact other lifetimes. And basically, with hypnotic regression, it was almost like watching a videotape of something that happened to another of your incarnations in a past life. And our experiences were not like that at all. They were like going to visit somebody in a foreign country, kind of a distant member of your family, you know? And bringing along someone who was an expert at figuring out what was going on wrong with this person's life and helping them to straighten it out. Because we didn't just observe, we interacted. We talked to the other incarnation. We found out what was wrong, and Spirit always somehow managed to find a solution, and usually it was to take them back before the big problem happened and take steps and do intelligent things that prevented it from happening. Just go another way. Go around and handle it in a totally different way so that the tragedy or the crisis or the terrible mistakes or the sinful behavior just plain didn't happen. So over the years, I began, first I called them soul voyages, and then I realized these are not just trips. We are actually doing therapy in other lifetimes. So that's how we got into calling it multi-life therapy. And after this was going on for a number of years, I realized that I, as one single person, and each of these visits took a couple of hours. I could only see so many people and watch their lives change and just being so happy when I got phone calls saying, thank you, you changed my life. Everything is different now, and it's the wonderful things are going on, and all the problems I had before aren't happening to me anymore. And so there you go. I've just decided that a book was probably the answer. And when the book came along, I checked with Hans Holzer, and of course he insisted on sitting in on a one of my sessions to find out exactly what I was doing. He was a world famous parapsychologist, and he'd written about 40 books, and he was a scientific advisor on the Amityville Horror, so he was definitely an expert on the subject. And he sat and listened very quietly and gave me a thumbs up. He said, "This is great stuff. You're right on target, and this needs, you really need to get your book out." And on New Year's Day in 99, he came and gave me a private reading and told me that my book was going to be published and recommended me to a publisher. And that publisher was excited to print the book, but they gave me instructions to turn it into a how-to book. And I was horrified, because to me, this was kind of the equivalent of giving instructions for extreme sports, so that 12 and 15 year olds could do it, and sometimes even younger ones could do it in the backyard and maybe get killed or crippled in the process. So I sat down and wrote an additional chapter that I called Karma, Regression is Not a Parlor Game, and explained to the publisher that definitely it could not be published as a how-to book, and this was why. So they wrote back saying, "Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. We see that this would be a dangerous thing for people to do all on their own. And unfortunately, we publish how-to books, so it didn't get published." So eventually, it had to get published. It was a very long pregnancy, shall we say. But it has now been on Amazon for several years under the title Journals of a Healer, subtitle A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality. And I guess I should even really discuss the title, because there are times when I sort of feel like I'm a travel agent accompanying people on a trip to another place, another time, and another aspect of their whole self. Which brings me to another question people have asked: what do I mean by the whole self? If you can imagine every single incarnation that you have ever experienced in all of your lives here on Earth, and sometimes even other places, and the wisdom and the compassion and the lessons learned from those lifetimes into a big melting pot, and think of it as an ocean. And each incarnation, you can think of them as a wave that comes on shore. And what does the wave do when it comes on shore? It stirs things up. And it grabs certain things, and it feels things. It's on out of the ocean, and yet it's still connected with the ocean. And then it slowly ebbs back into the ocean, taking some of the things that it encountered on the beach back into the ocean with it. And that's the best way I can describe how our individual incarnations are still spiritually connected to what I think of as the whole self. And we take back to that whole self the wisdom that we've gained, the understanding, the compassion, and all of the awareness that we have gathered from our Earth experience. So when we go back into that ocean, we can encounter other lifetimes. And it is as if they are alive, seeing things, interacting with their world, understanding what is going on, and we can teach them. I mean, you know, some of the things that were considered a sin in the 12th century are today perfectly normal. Things that were considered monstrous witches in Salem and in Europe, where they burned at least 500 witches at the stake. We are now considering those people healers. We're considering them uniquely gifted in certain ways. Like some people are good at singing. Some people are wonderful at mathematics. Some people are great at building things. And that society doesn't think is strange. What society does think is strange is when a person knows what kind of herb that it would be good to give you that will make you feel better, or where to press when you're having a pain to release the pain. These are just what I have come to realize are our birthrights that the process of civilization has stolen from us. So the birthright that we come in with, the gifts, the talents, the spiritual greatness and the beauty of our whole being is lost on the way to the potty and on the way to learning how not to let an ice cream cone drip on us, and how to put away our clothes, and how to behave ourselves in public. And that is such a complicated job, and the languages we have to learn, and the meaning of words that are said in different tones, and what is safe and what isn't safe. All of this is such a huge job that we literally forget what we came here for. And then if we're lucky, we run into people who meditate, people who have learned how to use their gifts and are happy with them. And we begin to experiment and begin to be safe. And hopefully, finally, actually realize that we came here to do something really special and get on with it. When we go into other lifetimes, things happen that might seem totally disconnected from this lifetime. And yet, as we dig deeper, as we look more carefully, we understand, oh, that is the reason I get the willies when I go and when I step into a closet. Oh, my goodness. Or that is why I can't, I hate going down dark alleys. Or this is why I hesitate to talk about things that are special to me, because it got another incarnation of mine into a tremendous amount of trouble in the 17th century. So the correlation and the working it through and the understanding of the value of it is basically up to us. Spirit has done their job in helping us to deal the other incarnation, to deal with the present situation, and to come out free and clear, so that the karmic residue from the other lifetime is completely erased from our existence. It's as if it didn't even happen. And sometimes they will live 20 or 30 years longer than the original incarnation did. One man was caught poaching because he was in the forest of a lord, and he was sentenced to hang. And when Spirit taught this young man, and he was just a teenager, how to get food in a better way and an easier way, and it was not necessary for him to steal anything, and then he was able to live more than 20 years longer and do great things. Well, that young man's whole life changed, and instead of apologizing for coming into the room, he sort of sauntered in and kind of decided where he was going to sit and started talking to people. And it was quite a shock. So this is the kind of thing that we do, and I would love to hear from you. And when you do read Journals of a Healer and the revision and sequel that I'm working on right now, I would like to hear from you. My email for your comments is peak, P-E-A-K, underscore, vitality, V-I-T-A-L-I-T-Y, at Verizon, verizon.com. That's peak_vitality@verizon.net. Please forgive me, N-E-T, net. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And I have enjoyed this opportunity to answer some of your questions and to hopefully get you a little better acquainted with the true meaning of the amazing adventures that you will read about in Journals of a Healer. I like to end this program with a guided imagery. So if you will, close your eyes and tense your body tight, tight, tight. And when you feel yourself trembling, collapse like a rag doll. Begin to breathe in the beautiful energy of the universe. Breathe it in and float inward to the most wonderful, safe place deep, deep inside your consciousness, where everything is good, free, and you are given everything that you need. Nothing is left out. just fill yourself with this wonderful sense of rightness and perfection. And stretch, take a deep breath, and open your eyes, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Love and light.